Many ask themselves with a sincere heart, but do I not need a clear call from God to heal the sick and to preach before I can actually do it? Let's look at it together. Faith is like a muscle. When you use it, it becomes stronger. If you study healing and listen to the most amazing sermons about it, you won't get it. You only can heal the sick when you start doing it. It's not about building a doctrine, it's about doing it. You don't need a prophet to come and say, now you will be equipped with power and receive mighty faith, and from now on all the sick will get healed. It won't happen like that. Why not? Because you are already commanded to do it. If you start doing it, you will grow in it like the muscle in the gym. Most people are waiting for a phone call from God when he has already sent them a letter. Let's read his letter. Mark 16. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Signs can only follow if you go ahead. We have to go so that the Holy Spirit who is in you will follow with signs. We don't have to pray for God to move. The Great Commission is a command. A command has in itself a leading, otherwise it would be a suggestion. It doesn't say pray, it says they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Apostle Paul understood that. Acts 28 says the chief official's father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and after prayer placed his hands on him and healed him. Scripture clearly points out that the healing didn't take place immediately after prayer, but as a result of when Paul had laid his hands on the sick. I know of someone who wanted to pray for a man who was sick, but the sick person didn't want to let my friend pray for him, because he was convinced that God will heal him in God's timing and there is no need to receive prayer. My friend knew that the Bible only says they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. There's no need to pray. Laying hands on him is already enough. So he did lay hands in faith on the sick, the one who refused prayer while they were talking. He just shook his hands purposefully or his arm around him. A week later, when they were in touch again with each other, the sick person said, you know what? Last time when you left me, I was completely healed. It must have been God's timing. So God has already qualified you to lay your hands on the sick. You have his consent. And if you believe, they will be healed. You say now, but what if people don't get healed when I pray? If you ask this question, who are you conscious of, Jesus or you? Whoops. You see, the healing part is not even the center of the issue, neither is it you or me. The center of the issue is only Jesus. We live only for him. We do all of that because of him, not because we feel like it or don't feel like it. We just practice the word of God and the rest is not our problem. Now you may say, okay, but that refers to Jesus and his disciples only. It's not really applicable to us 2000 years later. Let's see what the scripture says to that. John 14. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 20. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. The qualification to do the same works as Jesus did is to believe in him. If you believe, you're qualified. To who is Jesus speaking? to the disciples or to whoever believes. Whatever means whatever, anything means anything. God is that good. Watch this, John 5. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Notice the two words again which Christians don't believe, whoever and whatever. Do you think God really meant these words? We are sent in the same way Jesus was sent by the Father. How can God expect us to be sent just like Jesus without giving us access to everything Jesus had access to? How are we to do the same and greater works if we aren't given the same power and authority? All promises are guaranteed to us and part of our inheritance. 2 Corinthians 1. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. If your parents die and leave you £1,000,000, will you claim to it or not? Of course you will. And if somebody comes and tells you, yes, they said it, but they didn't really mean it, would you say, oh yeah, they must have been talking about somebody else? Or would you say, sorry, you're a liar, I have it here in black and white that they meant me. This is my money and I will have it. In the same way, you have it in black and white, signed with the blood of the Lamb, that the promises are yours. Don't entertain lies. They will only steal your inheritance. Who has got the most muscles? You, Arnold Schwarzenegger, or me? All three of us have the exact same amount of muscles, around 640 muscles. You have everything you need to get people healed because of Romans 8. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. The only thing you need to become like Arnold Schwarzenegger is training. The only thing you need that things begin to happen is practice. Putting the word into practice. James 1 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. He didn't say, go to study theology for 3 years and come back to me explaining in Greek what it means to preach the gospel and heal the sick. If we are only studying the Bible but don't do it, then we deceive ourselves. If I say to my boys, do your morning jobs, then I expect them to go and do it. If they came back to me with the description of their job in Greek, I would be cross with them. I'm not interested in the description in Greek, I'm only interested in them to get the job done. I have already given them the description of the job, which was a simple instruction called Hoover the bedroom or clean the windows. Why are we so reluctant to do it? It's because the beginning is always hard. In fact, the beginning of most things is hard. Just observe a baby who takes the first steps. It doesn't happen instantly. But a few weeks and months later, the toddler runs around without concentrating because he had a lot of practice and not because he studied the term walking in Greek. A space shuttle uses around 70% fuel in the first 60 seconds. We can compare it a bit to a space shuttle. At the beginning, we need a lot of energy and overcoming power to actually do it because we are not used to it. But after a while, it grows so naturally that you don't even think anymore about it. Right. How do I get more power? Answer, if you use the little you have. That's always the biblical way to multiply. We read in the parable of the 10 talents. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Matthew 25. Or, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Galatians 6. After all, it's a clear command from our Lord. And if you have noticed, the Lord likes to command us things what we think is impossible for us. Why is that? It's simple. That makes us dependent on him. It's like him saying, I know you can't heal the sick, but do it. It sounds like a contradiction, but it's not. I'm going to show you why it's not. Watch this. If you cut a tree down with a huge saw, who did it? You or the saw? The answer is yes. You did it and the saw did it. But the saw could never do it on its own. Neither could you do it without the saw. God could flick his finger and every single human being on planet Earth would get instantly healed. But he chose, in most cases, you and me to do it. You and I are the saw. It's a co-work with God. We read in 1 Corinthians 3, for we are God's fellow workers. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6, as workers together with him. Mark 16, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. So we can see from the scripture that God is a co-worker with men. And here are the commands. Matthew 10, as you go, preach saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Luke 10, and heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Healing and preaching is a command. Doesn't matter what you do first, but it goes together. In Luke, as he was the doctor, it's first healing, and in Matthew, it's first preaching. Acts 10. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And are we still questioning if it's the will of God to get healed? Thank you very much again for watching. Our next question will be, but do I not need first a rhema word from God before I can heal the sick and pray for the sick? See you soon.